even less comfortable and more precarious than the Lunatic Express, was the Pony Express of the Old West. It was an all-out high-speed information delivery service on horseback that traversed nearly 2,000 miles of open, desolate, hostile land. The Pony Express dispatched its first rider 150 years ago today. The legend of this ill-fated, short-lived business has changed a lot since then. We bring you three reports from along the trail. Frank Morris of member station KCUR begins where the trail did, Pony Express headquarters in St. Joseph, Missouri.
In 1860, the American West was booming and the East was boiling. Civil war was at hand. A vast wilderness and high mountains blocked the rich West from the rest of the country. Rail and telegraph lines stopped in St. Joseph, Missouri. Cindy Daffron with the Pony Express Museum here says that meant it took a month for news reports and government dispatches to cross that information abyss.
This is what people didn't like. If they were living out there with money, the fastest means was 4 weeks. So the idea became, how do we do it? How do we do it faster?
A stage line carried mail south through country increasingly hostile to the Union. A shorter but rougher trail took a northerly route over the mountains. Historian Gary Chilcote says a struggling freight company called Russell Majors & Waddell was already using it.
And so they came up with the idea of why not carry the mail and get a government contract.
Riders galloping 24-7, relaying a mailbag from horse to horse and man to man, could cover the almost 2,000-mile trail in 10 days. They took a real pounding. Riders had to be tough and fit, like reenactor Justin Rother. Buckskin fringe flies as he leaps into the saddle.
I don't ever use stirrups whenever I get on, usually. I just hop right up here. It's faster that way. That's how they would have done it back then, too, most likely. So, 'cause everything was speed.
Well, that meant cutting weight. Dispatches were on tissue paper. Riders couldn't be much more than 120 pounds. They rode day and night across the wilderness with little more than a mailbag and a pistol.
What I got here is an 1851 Colt, Model Navy.
There's one famous ad for Pony Express riders. Rother has it pretty much memorized.
I wanted skinny, wiry fellows. preferably orphans.
Well, they've traced that back to about 1923 in a magazine, and we think some public relations guy wrote that.
Gary Chilcote says lots of facts about the Pony Express. How reliable it was, who the riders were, their daring deeds are a bit suspect.
But this was a company that kept no records whatsoever. They didn't know who the riders were 2 years afterwards. So a lot of this stuff is fake lore, what we call it.
Even the name of the first rider is somewhat disputed, but whoever he was, he did take off about 7:15, April 3rd, barreling west into wild lands, as the Pony Express set out on a very rough ride of its own. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris.
I'm Jeff Brady in Colorado. That rough ride dipped into this state as it strung across Nebraska and Wyoming. Today you can drive much of that route, but aside from a couple of old buildings and markers, there isn't much to see. What we do have, even 150 years later, is the legend of the Pony Express.
Toting the mail beside him, he's got the trail to guide him, Cody of the Pony Express.
Songs like this kept the Pony Express alive. Author Christopher Corbett wrote a book about the mail service and says there's a good reason its memory has lasted.
It doesn't have the baggage of the slaughter of buffalo and the decimation of Indians. It doesn't have any of that kind of baggage. I think that's part of its appeal.
Corbett says Buffalo Bill's Wild West show probably did the most to keep the legend of the Pony Express alive, and there have been plenty of movies made about it, even a television series 20 years ago called The Young Riders.
First ride. You ready?
There was a lot of dramatic music as Pony Express riders galloped across the western landscape. The series also included an overabundance of predictable schmaltzy dialogue.
You might have the makings.
Author Christopher Corbett says these recreations nearly always stretched the truth. Lucky for his research, some of the original Pony Express riders were asked about their experience before they died.
They remembered not outrunning outlaws and Indians, you know, those kinds of popular images that we would have. But they remembered how cold it was, and they remembered how dangerous it was if you got off the trail at night in the winter.
And, Corbett says, some riders remembered not getting paid because the Pony Express never made a profit. It was in business for only a year and a half. In fact, that TV series, The Young Riders, it lasted for 3 seasons, twice as long as the Pony Express itself. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
And I'm Ben Adler in Sacramento, where the first Pony Express mail arrived on April 13, 1860, 10 days after it left St. Joseph. It was apparently quite the scene.
Banners were hung across the street. There was a line. People were cheering. The Pony Express is coming into town, and he's being led by about 10 other people on horseback, kicking up dust.
That's Joe Nardone, the Pony Express Trail Association's master historian, and a man who's crossed the trail by truck, motorcycle, mountain bike, and, of course, by horse. Every year, Pony Express fans reenact the ride. It's a way of keeping the legend fresh to this day. But that legend often overshadows two hard facts. First, the mail was expensive, $5 a letter back then, or over $100 by today's standards. And second, as fast as those riders were, it was nothing compared to what led to their demise.
The Telegraph, 18 months later, puts man's most finely tuned historic mail delivery system, the Pony Express, on horseback out of business. It's like comparing the post office to email today.
But Nardone and other Pony Express fans dismiss criticism that the story is overblown. After all, they point out, riders brought news of President Lincoln's election and the Civil War to the West Coast in just over a week.
It's a legend, and I think deservedly so.
Meg Osman is the historian for the U.S. Postal Service, which uses the Pony Express trademark.
Because something is successful in its own time and not successful forever, I don't think that diminishes the importance of it at that time. So I would not knock it because it was short-lived.
So important that when the order came in to stop the Pony Express in the fall of 1861, the Sacramento Bee printed a front-page editorial lamenting its end.
Nothing that has blood and sinews was able to overcome your energy and ardor, but a senseless, soulless thing that eats not, sleeps not, tires not. Rest then in peace, for thou hast run thy race, thou hast followed thy course, thou hast done the work that was given thee to do.
For NPR News, I'm Ben Adler in Sacramento.
You can follow the Pony Express as it galloped across the country in a historical photo gallery at NPR.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.